to do with this issue of identity. This is an Irish poem called The Dialogue of, or The Colloquy of the Two Sages. And it's about a bardic competition to... basically what happens is that the Bard of Leinster dies. His son is being taught in Scotland by a Scottish bard. And his heredity place is given to another bard. And he's wandering by the seashore and he listens to the sound of the waves, and the sound of the waves tells him that his father is dead and that his place has been and that he needs to return to Ireland. Come back to this poem a number of times, there's a lot of stuff in it. But he gets to Ireland anyway, and a famous troublemaker tells him that he is the true heir to his father's throne, and tells him that he now should take his father's place, even though that place has been given to somebody else. So he does that, and then the current the new bard turns up, and then they have a dialogue. So this is the dialogue of the two bards, of the two sages. And basically they're challenging each other in their mastery of the bardic art. So they're challenging each other in who is the best penannon in some way. So who's got most right to sit in the chair. We'll talk some more tomorrow about Taliesin and the particular imagery around him, because the cauldron and the chair are really key images around bardic kind of work. I'm just going to read you a little bit. So it begins with Fanachte, who is the older poet, enters the house with the chair of the bard, and sees Nedhe, who is the son of the poet who's died. And Fanachte says, "Who is this poet? This poet around whom is the robe with its splendour? This is the bardic robe. He would reveal himself after having some poetry, but from what I can see, he is an apprentice. Grass is how he has come by his great beard. He hasn't got a beard, he's a beardless boy, so he puts grass on his face and by magic turns it into a beard. But the poet Fanachte can see through that and sees it as grass. Who is this poet of dispute? I have not heard anything about the intelligent of the son of Adne. I have not heard about him with unfailing knowledge. It is an error, by my words, in that he sits in Nethe's seat." Here is the honourable response that Nethe gave to Fanachte. "An ancient one, O my elder, each sage is a sage of teaching. A sage is the reproach of ignorant people. You would see he knows in advance which reproach, which nature is within us. Welcome is even the piercing intelligence of wisdom. A young man's failings are slight if his art has not been well interrogated." He's saying, you're judging me, you're not interrogating me. He's challenging him. So Fanachte says, okay then. "Okay, a question, O young man of instruction, where did you come from?" "Not difficult to answer," says Nethe. "From the heel of a sage, from the proximity of a sage, from a confluence of wisdom, from perfections of goodness, from the brilliance of the rising sun, from hazel trees, from the poetic art, from circuits of splendour, through which the true is measured, through which the truth is learned, in which untruth is placed, through which colours are seen, through which his poems are renewed. And you, O my elder, where did you come from?" "Not difficult to answer. Along the column of the age, along the rivers of Leinster, along the magic hill of the wife of Nechtan, along the forearm of the wife of Nuadar, from the clan of the sun, from the dwelling place of the moon, along the umbilical cord of the young man. A question, O boy of teaching, what is your name?" "Not difficult to answer. Very small, very big, very firm, very brilliant, ardour of fire, fire of words, sound of knowledge, source of wealth, sword of singing, direct art with the bitterness of fire. And you, O my elder, what is your name?" "Not difficult to answer. The one closest to the omens, the hero who explains, who tells, who interrogates, who searches for science, who is the weft of art, who is the vessel for poetry, who is abundance coming from the sea. A question, O boy of teaching, what art do you practice?" Neve, this is not difficult to answer. Making faces blush, piercing the flesh, colouring decency, striking impudence. Nourishing poetry, seeking renown, courting science, having an art for each mouth, diffusing knowledge, stripping words, in a little room, the castle of a sage, a river of science, abundance of teachings. I am the delights of king, the giver of lucid narratives. And you, O my elder, what art do you practice? Not difficult to answer. The hunt for aid. I establish peace. I keep order in the troop. I am the tribulation of young men. I am the celebration of the art. I am the source of the boyne. I am Athne's shield. I am new wisdom coming from the river of science. I am the colour of inspiration. I am the structure of intelligence. I am the art of poetry. I am the clear arrangement. I am the red narrative. I am the glorified path. I am a pearl in the sea. I am the rescuer of science, the rescuer of poems. A question, O boy of teaching. What have you undertaken? This is not difficult. To go into the plain of age, into the mountain of youth, in pursuit of age, following behind a king in a dwelling made of clay, between the candle and its head, between the battle and its horror, I am among the strong men of Tethera. I am among the stations and the rivers of understanding. And you, O my elder, what have you undertaken? Not difficult to answer. I go into the mountain of rank, into the communion of knowledge, into the lands of men of understanding, into the breast of poetic revision, into the estuary of generosity, into the assembly of the great pig, into the slope of death, into that place where there is abundance of great honour. A question, O boy of teaching, what route did you take? Not difficult to answer. On the white plain of knowledge, on the beard of a king, on the forest of age, on the back of the ox, on the clarity of the summer moon, on fine cheeses, on the dew of a goddess, by the rarity of wheat, on the ford of fear, on the hips of a good dwelling. And you, O my elder, what route did you take? Not difficult to answer. On the spear of Chlu, on the breasts of gentle women, on the foliage of a wood, on the head of a spear, on a silver tunic, on a chariot frame without bottom, on a bottom without frame, on the three ignorances of the son of the young one. A question, O boy of teaching, whose son are you? Not difficult to answer. I am the son of poetry. Poetry, daughter of scrutiny. Scrutiny, son of meditation. Meditation, daughter of great knowing. Great knowing, son of seeking. Seeking, daughter of investigation. Investigation, daughter of great knowing. Great knowing, son of great good sense. Great good sense, son of comprehension. Comprehension, daughter of wisdom. Wisdom, daughter of the three gods of Dana. And you, O my elder, whose son are you? Not difficult to answer. I am the man who has been, who was not born, who was shrouded in his mother's breast, who was baptized after his death, who was tied to death from the moment he first appeared, who is the first spoken words of every living being, who is the crying out of every dead being, the A, whose name is very high. A question, O boy of teaching, do you have any news? There is in truth good news. Bounteous sea and fish, swarming coast, the woods smile, flight of leaves, fruit trees prosper. There is growth in the wheat field. There are numerous swarms of bees. A radiant world, a happy peace, a lovely summer. Paid troops, kings full of sun, marvellous wisdom, no battles, everyone has his proper art, worthy men, sowing for women, laughter of treasure. Full merit in war, plenitude of every art, all good men are handsome, all news is good. Good, good news. And you, O my elder, do you have any news? Fernechle answers, there is in truth terrible news. This will be an evil time that will last a long time, during which the chiefs will be numerous, during which honours will be rare, the living will annihilate good judgment, the world's livestock will be sterile, men will reject decency, The defenders of the great lords will leave. Men will be evil, good kings will be rare, usurpers will be numerous, disgrace will be legion. Every man will be disgraced. Chariots will perish after the race. Enemies will completely deplete the plain of Neil. Truth will no longer guarantee excellence. The sentinels around the churches will be beaten. All art will be buffoonery. All lies will be chosen. Each person will depart from his natural state with pride and arrogance, so that neither rank nor age nor honour nor dignity nor poetic art nor instruction will be respected. Whatever is intelligent will be broken. Every king will be poor. This goes on for several pages. There will be desolation around the hilltops of the Isle of Meadows. The sea will invade all lands having residence of the land of promise. Ireland will be abandoned. There will be a period of mourning after massacre. Monsters will be born in every district. This will be the judgment. O sun, big news, terrifying news, an evil time. A question, O boy of instruction. O boy, small in age, great in knowledge, O son of Adne, do you know who is above you? Now the answer is, that is not difficult. I know God the Creator, I know my most wise prophet, I know the hazel tree of poetry, I know my strong God, I know the great poet and seer Fernechte. The boy then kneeled before him, and Nethe threw to Fernechte the poet's robe, which he took off, and he rose from the poet's seat where he was to throw himself at Fernechte's feet. And Fernechte said, "Remain, O small in age, O great poet of understanding, O son of Adne. May you be praised and glorified, may you be celebrated and powerful, may you be a vessel for poetry, may you be the arm of a king, may you be a rock for doctors, may you be the glory of a mane, may you be higher than all." Nethe says, "May you yourself be under the same title, a tree with a single trunk, manly and indestructible, a vessel for poetry, the expression of new wisdom, the intelligence of perfect people, the father with the son with the father. The three fathers in question when reading, the father of the age, the father of the flesh, the father of teaching. My fleshly father remains no longer. My father of teaching is not present. It is you who are my father according to age. It is you who I recognize as such. May you be yourself." Now what we find happening in this poem is the two poets, great bards both, were speaking out of the deep place, letting deep time speak through them. So these questions, who are you, where do you come from, what do you know, what tasks have you undertaken? You know, these are kind of questions we can ask of ourselves and answer in the same way. But what answers is the deep self that answers. The answers come out of deep time and come out of the place behind you or beneath you. Now Fernechte is in a way the greater poet, and he's the greater poet because he can, in the second branch of the Mabinogion, he can embrace the terrible. The two places where they're doing quite well, both of them, although his answers are a bit more subtle if you know something about bardic art. But the place where they both diverge is in their vision. So the young man can envision the beautiful, the glorious. The older man can embrace also the darkness, and so speaks of apocalypse and terrible things and everything going wrong, because he is the one who has integrated the darkness and the destructive energy within himself, and thus he is the greater poet. And thus Adne flings himself at his feet and knows that he has things to learn from him. He has not yet learned or grown into the place of integrating the dark within the light. It's the place where he has pretended to have a beard and through illusion has placed a beard upon a beard that he has not yet grown upon his chin. Now, when we encounter these deeper places, these questions, as we surrender into the kind of inner, identity becomes fluid. You know, so that, so when, you know, the place when they say, let's find it again. You, my elder, whose son are you? I am the man who has been and who was not born. So they're speaking out of that kind of deeper place. So when you say, or when he says, where do you come from? From the heel of a sage, from a confluence of wisdom. Or along the columns of age, along the rivers of Leinster, along the magic hill of the wife of Necton. These are true statements. They're true statements of that come out of that moment. Of the, so they're accurate. They're not poetic hyperbole. They're an actual expression in response to that question. But it requires that the bard, the sage, is open to that which speaks through him or her. So the deep time, the ancestors, the mythological beings are behind you somewhere. And in response to that question, where do you come from? You allow that place to speak. You allow that to embody. You take within your identity. So I am Reagan and I am the tooth of the dragon. Right, to treat both of things seriously, letting neither cancel each other out. I am both Reagan and I am the tooth of the dragon. So if I really let those things come together, something really interesting happens. I am the Thor that moves through the woods. I am the dragon fire and the dragon's tooth. And I am Reagan. Sorry, figure to use this example, but you did offer me up a kind of a beautiful image. Right, so so if you put those things together, and don't just treat them as kind of, well, it's a nice image, but actually if you let those images and your sense of self come together and see that this, in this moment, this is my identity. I am Reagan and I am the tooth of the dragon.
I don't know if I'm strong enough to be that.
Well, you don't have to. You are it, lovely. It's not that you have to be anything. Okay, in that moment, you are both those things, right? So, the moment when you experience yourself, you're not committed to being anything, or having to do anything else. It's just in that moment, as those two things come together, and they only come together for a moment. The next minute, you know, it's a bit like in this. The next thing, you know, for example, the next thing. It's something else. I come from hazel trees. So the next moment I come from hazel trees. It's not about now I have to be the tooth of the dragon in the world. It's in that momentary experience when those two things come together. Two things touch each other and something happens as that happens. We're talking about fluid identity here. And if we can allow that to happen.
It
has to be fluid, right? It isn't about it. If once it gets fixed, something happens. You know, so if you I've got to be the tooth of the dragon, that would be very difficult, I think, to be the tooth of the dragon. In a moment, you can be the tooth of the dragon. Next minute, you could be nice cat.
Yeah.
Right? It's that. In a way, that's what these things take us into, a more fluid experience of ourselves and a more fluid experience of the universe.
This is a balance as well, in that it's a fluid experience, but it's also taking yourself seriously.
Yeah, well, it's taking...
You are a hazel tree, and that is true.
That's right.
And then you're not,
right? So, but it, yes, exactly that. So it's fluid and you have to take it seriously, you receive it. Right, so the sense of being Labrador and Sue, right? So it's to take those things seriously, so when you're a Labrador, running in the wood, that's
a golden retriever.
I beg your pardon, golden retriever. It's quite important to be specific here. So when you're a golden retriever running in the wood, right? Then you if you can let yourself really be that, then you experience that freedom, that peacefulness, yeah. that joy, you know, and interestingly, the Labrador thing was protective, because when the family thing came in, being a dog means I can't go there,
yeah.
and the retriever protects you from that, in some ways. And then, you know, the identity shifts, and then you're in front of a map. But it's to really take seriously these places in ourselves, and not... So identity is fluid, but each shape has its moment, has its importance, has its intent. And the difficulty that we have normally is because it's much of this stuff, we feel it all the time, but then we push it away, we dismiss it, because it's a sort of, well, a silly thought. And it was actually, it's making this marriage between the linear self and the non-linear self, and letting them come together in that moment. And as they do come together, something shifts. Something alters in our relationship to both worlds, every time we let that happen. Any questions about that before we have a tea break? So let's just see.
I mean, rather than go through a crisis of identity, I'm just sort of thinking through that whole... I suppose what irritates me is when I'm around people who take on the identity of wherever they are.
Yeah.
Rather than having their own.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the same about being in the presence of great people, you know, where they kind of take on that. I don't know. I like the idea of having a clear identity. As to who I am. I've actually felt that's kind of helped me in life rather than hindered me. Even though I like to feel that I can, I'm really happy to change and I'm open around that, I like the idea that some of that's nice and clear.
No, I think that's right. That's partly the point that Nicholas is making, that actually the identity changes, the particular shapes that appear are really clear. Right, so it's a very, and actually very specific. It is about being a golden retriever, not a Labrador. It is about being a dragon's tooth, or it is about being a tree, or and those images are very precise. So although there's a fluidity, there's also a precision. And it's not about this way of looking at it is about trusting the identity that arises from the deeper part of yourself. In some ways, when people take on the coloration of their environment, that can sometimes mean they're not very connected to the internal kind of process, and there's a sort of seeking for identity with the outside because they haven't got much of a connection with the inside, I think. I mean, this is quite a different process from that in some ways. Yeah. Because actually precision and definition, the process is precise and quite defined. It's a moving process, depending on the internal and external conditions. But the particular shape that appears is very distinct. And that's what they're trying to point out a bit in the poem. They're these quite clear, sometimes quite odd images, but they're precise images. They're images that say, well, now I'm this, and now I'm this, and then I'm like that. So it's about trusting the moment-by-moment expression of the inner coming towards the outer and meeting it there.
While you were reading that,
yeah.
And as I was sat here, I could hear you reading that kind of story, and it was almost like you were also reading me the story. This is the house that Jack built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that kind of there was something. I was kind of with both.
Yeah.
Both stories, and there were some lines, and it was just like you were saying, and this is the house that Jack built, and this is the thing that goes to that, and
yeah. Above. Yeah, that's right.
And then it kind of goes down, and on one level it's just a children's rhyme, and on another level they're also the images that link and build in, and it's the rat and the farmer and it becomes
it's a really similar. Yes, that story is very, very similar. I mean, this is done in Celtic medieval style, but that's exactly the same sort of thing, right? So it's exactly, yeah. And the thing about all this stuff is, it isn't just found in Celtic stories. It's found in childhood things, all kinds of little bits and pieces like this, because it's about something that's true about human nature. So it comes up in all kinds of dialects and all kinds of different stories. Find a lot in fairy stories, some of this material sometimes as well.
What was the final word again that he said about being oneself or standing where you are?
Right at the end, you mean? Yeah. So this is the poet, the young poet, talking to the old poet. It is you who are my father. It is you who I recognize as such. May you be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lovely thing to say.
Isn't it? May you be yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of the sealing word almost, really. And being yourself is to be all of these things. Mm-hmm. Whenever they're needed. Okay, it's a brief break for a cup of tea.